This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. I begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed He is the one who is deserving of all the thanks and all the praises. He is the one who has given us every single ni'mah, whether we are aware or unaware of them. And I began by seeking the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs, for indeed, once he is the helper, and when He helps us, we don't need anyone else. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides us, for indeed, the one that He guides, none can misguide. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from misguidance, for indeed, the one who misguides, none can guide. And I begin by sending our salams and peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who did everything for us, the man who gave his life so that you and I can sit here today and say la ilaha illallah. He and his sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast upon his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve his sunnah in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve his sunnah in our upcoming generations. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his companionship and his shafa'ah on the day of judgment. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, there is one thing that we all inspire to be. We all want to be special. We all want to do great things in life. We all want to leave a legacy behind. A legacy that people will always recognize us by. We want to do something always good for the ummah. But when we live today, as today, we live in a society where we are surrounded by people. We are surrounded by cultures. We are surrounded by mindsets and philosophies. Eventually what happens is that we become a victim of what everyone is thinking about and the certain mindsets and philosophies and thinking that is taking place outside. Each one of us sitting over here, we all have very special talents. Allah has given us something that He may have given someone else too. But each one of us internally, within our own skill set, Allah has made us special. Allah has given us certain talents that we can be proud of. And while at times people feel like that I'm a useless person, I'm no good to anyone, I'm not good to myself, I'm not good to my family. No, each one of us, we can be special. Unfortunately, what happens is that we pay so much attention to what people are saying around us. And I always give this advice that if there's one thing that we have absolutely no control over, when it comes to human beings, is what they think and what they do and what they perceive about us. We have no control over that. The only control that I have over is what I believe in, is what I do, and how much I can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what I'm in control of. So rather than us trying to compare and trying to seek the approvals of people around us, rather than trying to seek the approval of the society that we live in, rather than trying to seek the approval of the culture that we are living in, if there's any approval that you and I, we should be seeking, it is the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is at the core of our life. Allah has to be at the core of our life. If our goal is anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that goal means nothing to us. If I do anything to please anyone else besides Allah, then we need to stop that right away. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he has talked about this in his book Ihya ul-Ulum al-Din, that there are times when shaitan comes to us and how he deceives us, and I don't want to get into that right now. But the point of my khutbah is that you don't need to be special in this society in order to be special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the society grades us. It judges us based on our economic status. It judges us based on our social status. It judges us based on how we look externally. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us internally. If we are beautiful on the inside, if we are special on the inside, then it does not matter what our external state looks like, because that is what Allah looks at. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said in a hadith, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila ajsamikum wala ila suwarikum walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum." That is what Allah looks at. So every single day, you and I, we need to strive for that. And if we are connected to Allah, then alhamdulillah. And if we're not connected to Allah, that is a concern. I remind myself and all of you this story in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very well-known story that people from Mecca, the Quraysh, went to Medina to inquire from the Jewish community that tell us or give us some questions that we can ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hopefully we can trap him. We can prove that, na'udhu billah, he is not a prophet. We want to prove this. So the Jewish people gave this community, or the Quraysh, this group of people, a few questions that go and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they came and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we all know the story, that he said, "I will let you know," but he forgot to say inshallah. What's important to know is this. After this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disconnected his communication with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did the Prophet ﷺ feel about that? Before, in the past, there were people who disconnected with Rasulullah ﷺ. There were people who called him a liar. The people who called him as-sadiqul masduq and al-amin, the trustworthy. Now those same people are calling him kadhib. The same people are calling him a sahir. The same people are calling him a kahin. And what had happened with his family? As soon as he began to give da'wah to la ilaha illallah, the two sons of Abu Lahab divorced the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And can you imagine what state the Prophet ﷺ, he went through as a father, that his two daughters are divorced just because he said la ilaha illallah, and just because he's giving da'wah to la ilaha illallah? But the Prophet ﷺ, he went through all of that. And yes, those times were difficult upon him. But those are not events that are recalled in the Quran. The event that was recalled in the Quran, and you and I are going to recite about this till the day of judgment, is when Allah, he stopped his communication with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because that was so difficult upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone can say whatever they want to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is still digestible. But when Allah thinks about me in a certain way, when Allah has stopped the communication with me, then that is a point of concern. Once again, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that our focal point of life should be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I need to become a special person in the eyes of Allah, no matter what this dunya thinks about me. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he revealed the ayat of the Quran after that, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَٰلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. What's one of the ayat that were also revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. And some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is in reference to when there was a pause in wahi in the early life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some say that this is in reference to this story. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not upset with you. And he said this. He goes, ma wadda'aka, I not say farewell to you. Wa ma qala, and I'm not upset. I'm not upset. Why is it so important to mention to the Prophet ﷺ? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he cares when Allah is upset with him. When people are upset, it's fine. I can deal with it. But when Allah is upset, then that's a cause of concern. So what's the goal of our life then? Who do I need to work every single day to please? I need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to do it based on the way it was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were so many, I want to give some examples about how there were people that, you know, just like in society today, we always are so much particular about how we look. Because we always want people's approvals. We always want to know what people think about us. And then we will judge ourselves accordingly. And society changes, cultures change, and we always change our lives to fit the norms of society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is so merciful to all of us that He's already told us in the Quran that there is one thing primarily I'm looking at. If you want honor, if you want dignity, there is really one thing that I'm looking at. And that's not going to change no matter what country it is, what year it is, what era it is. It's not going to change till the day of judgment. Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." What I'm looking for in you, in all of us, what is Allah looking for? He's looking for our taqwa. Taqwa does not only mean the fear of Allah, it means our God consciousness. Our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that taqwa exists. Because if you and I, we have taqwa, that means that we have Allah in every aspect of our life. If I'm at work and I have taqwa, I know that I'm not going to be sitting on my phone while the boss cannot see. I'm going to be sitting on my phone and I'm still making money from the company. I'm not going to do that because Allah is watching me at the end of the day. If someone has given me a responsibility, I will do it because I have committed to that person. And Allah says in the Quran, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ, that fulfill your promise and fulfill your commitment. When it comes to my family, I will not mistreat my family because at the end of the day, Allah is watching me. Allah knows what I'm doing. Allah is conscious of what I'm doing, and Allah has more power over me. When it comes to my community, when it comes to my parents, when it comes to my siblings, when it comes to my children, when it comes to the community members, I will do everything based on how Allah wants me to do it. And the fact that we are aware of Allah watching us is taqwa in itself. So Allah says, you want honor and dignity? Gain taqwa in your life. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a sahabi by the name of Zahir radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was considered as a person who was not very much appealing in nature, or in terms of his looks. He was not very appealing. People would run away from him. One day he went to the marketplace. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to him. And he was not looking, he was standing in a way that his back was facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu came and he grabbed him. He gave like this big heavy hug. And he held him. And all of a sudden he's thinking to himself, who's holding me? And then the Prophet sallallahu says, "May yashtari hadha al-ghulam?" Who's going to buy this slave? And he begins to push that person off, not realizing that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he begins to push him off. And he says, "May yashtari hadha al-ghulam?" Again, the Prophet ﷺ said it. And then the second time when he heard the voice of the Prophet ﷺ and he paid attention to that, he remained calm. Because he realized that it was the Prophet ﷺ. After that, he turned around. And the Prophet ﷺ, and he said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Ya Rasulullah, I am such a non-good looking person. I'm such an unappealing person that even if I was a slave, no one would buy me as a slave." Now this is a person who had self-esteem issues. This is a person who has self-esteem issues. And how many people do we have in the community who seriously have this problem? They have no confidence in themselves. They have a lot of low self-esteem about themselves. They feel like that they are not good in anything. They look at others and they're envious of others and so forth. This person, Zahir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had the same issue. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zahir, this is how you feel about yourself. But indallah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a very beautiful person. Indallah, you are a very valuable person. Allah loves you. And that was all that Zahir radiallahu anhu, he had to hear in order to bring comfort to his heart. For him, as long as he knew that Allah loves me, that's all that mattered to him after that. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi that we all aware of, a sahabi that once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was passing by a caravan, he began to ask some questions about the Qur'an. The story is long, I don't want to go into that right now. And they gave an answer to every single question of Umar ibn Khattab. And at the end he said, he goes, he said that I believe, when they answer all these questions, they said, I strongly believe that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is in your company. He's with you because no one knows the answers to these questions about the Quran. The only person I know who can teach that kind of things and who can provide that education is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, once this same companion, he went up a tree to get something and he fell down. And when he fell down, his legs were exposed. And his legs, as they say, and they're mentioned in the books of Sirah, that his legs were very thin. And when he fell down and his legs were exposed, the Sahaba began to laugh at him. That look at these like twig legs. They began to laugh at him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he says, what are you all laughing about? And they said that we're laughing at the legs of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Look at them. Look how skinny they are. And the Prophet ﷺ says that here they may look insignificant. They may seem very light. But these legs are so heavy in the scale in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was able to do. Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala an, another example. A man that he was considered as probably the ugliest sahabi, as some books mention. Probably the most non-good-looking sahabi that you can possibly imagine. When he passed away in the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went around looking for this man. He went around looking for Julaybib. And when he saw him that he was a shaheed, he picked up his body. He picked up his body and three times, not once, but three times he said that Julaybib is from me and I am from him. Think about that honor. Many people did not get that honor. But this man, because he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was able to gain that honor. So keeping these things in mind, our focus should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the next thing is, that for all of us, we always are looking for opportunities to come closer to Allah. Okay? Now we understand how important it is to come close to Allah, but then there are opportunities that present itself, and as a believer, we have to always take up those kind of opportunities. Right now, I just want to share with you a few examples from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there were some sahaba, well-known sahaba, that when the opportunity came to them, they never backed away. They always went forward. And because they moved forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them tremendously for that. The first example is Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an. Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an was at home with his wife. And he got the news that the Muslims are suffering and they're facing defeat in the battle of Uhud. He got this news. He got out of bed, he was intimate with his spouse, and as we all know, that once you're intimate, you have to take a ghusl. It is fard. But he did not have a chance to take that ghusl. He left the bed, he went straight to the battle of Uhud. And there he fought, and he lost his life. Now this was a man who was just a sahabi, that's it. He was, I mean, that's not, it's not just something small, I understand. Point I'm trying to make is that there was nothing significant that he did. He got out, he went straight to the battlefield, and he gave up his life. But till today, we talk about his story. Why? Because after this, because when it comes to the ahkam of a shaheed, you don't give ghusl to a shaheed. A person who dies in the battlefield, you don't give them a ghusl. You bury them with the blood on their clothes, because that blood becomes a shaheed for them on the Day of Judgment. That blood in itself is a witness for them on the Day of Judgment. But here on the case of Handala, radiallahu ta'ala, he didn't have a chance to take even a ghusl. He was in a state of impurity. Who gave his ghusl? It was the malaika. The malaika came and they did his ghusl, and from that day, till the Day of Judgment, this man has earned the honor to be called Ghaseelul Malaika. The opportunity came, he jumped on that opportunity to come closer to Allah, to do something for his deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much. Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala is another example. The Prophet ﷺ came to him and said to Zayd that the Jewish community sends me letters. I don't know what's written in them. They could be possibly deceiving me. I want you to learn the Hebrew language. Zayd ibn Thabit, he did not even think twice. He did not think about who's going to be my tutor, who's going to be teaching me, who's going to educate me. If the Prophet ﷺ is telling me this, and this is an opportunity for me to do something for my deen, because at the end of the day, it's not my deen, it's the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadir. In 15 days, he studied and he learned the Hebrew language. Today, you and I are studying Arabic for so many years, yet we don't know Arabic. 15 days, he was able to gain enough proficiency that he could read and write, he could read their letters, and he could write back on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet came back to him and said, I want you to learn the Syriac language. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm there for you. Again, 17 days, he mastered that language. Then letters that were coming and going back to them were done by him. They were read by him. They were written by him on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was an opportunity that came for him. And when once again the opportunity came, he jumped on it. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala an. His story is so well known. In the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he retreated for a moment. And during that time, the Prophet was injured. He was wearing a metal helmet. And that metal helmet, the size of that metal helmet, had lodged into the cheeks, the cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Bakr was there. And he was about to go forward and take them out. These were just two pieces of metal lodged in the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Ubaidah said, no, this is my opportunity. He says, you're not going to steal my opportunity right now. He went and with his teeth, because he realized that if he tried to pull them out with his hands, it may cause some discomfort to the Prophet ﷺ. So he thought that let me put my teeth on it and let me yank it out. And he put his teeth on it and he yanked it out. And as soon as he yanked it, he lost a tooth himself. And Abu Bakr came to him and said, Abu Ubaidah, enough. You lost a tooth. Let me take care of the other one. And he goes, no, this is my opportunity. Because these people were always focused on earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were always looking for opportunities to become special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when those opportunities came, they never held back. And then again, Abu Ubaidah, he went to the other side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he yanked out the other piece of metal, and again, he lost another tooth. But then this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he would always say that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is the most handsome toothless man. He would say that kind of stuff. But the Prophet ﷺ, he realized what he had done. And now he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I had done for the Prophet ﷺ, and that was special at that time because the Prophet ﷺ needed my help and I was there for the Prophet ﷺ. I was there for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you and I, we want to be special, first of all is, don't worry about what society calls special or not special. We have to be focused on, am I special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And secondly, when the opportunities come to us, There are many opportunities that Allah presents to us. We can, and don't take it small. Even the fact that you have to go to a local food pantry and help someone out there, that can also earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To go to someone's house and give them a ride, something so small, to give them a ride to the masjid, it may seem to us that is insignificant, but indallah, that could be very loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. So every single opportunity of khair that comes our way, never hold back. If you have and you can contribute to the community, if you can contribute to the welfare of Muslims, and you can help out the ummah, then never hold back. Because at the end of the day, that could be our prime opportunity to come closer to Allah. That could be our opportunity to gain the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ability to be special in His eyes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us beautiful on the inside, to make our internal, our heart, the primary focus of our life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us gain our spirituality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this heart closer to Him and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كشمير اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كشمير وفي فلسطين وفي شيشان وفي كل مكان اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في برما وفي سوريا وفي كل مكان اللهم انصرنا على من خالفنا واحفظ بلادنا وأصلح أولادنا واشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بأيدينا إلى كل خير وعصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون به عينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وبصائرنا وقواتنا ما حيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب أمين رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقم الصلاة